AWOL Radio, here on 102.7 CKMS Radio Waterloo, radiowaterloo.ca. Check out grandrivermc.ca for past shows, our Cup W, our Support Cup W, support the post workers, support the workers, reject and resist neoliberalism show is up online. Got some good responses. Thanks to everybody who listened to it. Even though it came out a little late, it was still topical. Back-to-work legislation always injures everybody. So, or at least all workers, doesn't injure the rich. You know, like the CEO, the head of the Canada Post, makes quite a lot more than your average worker. And they get raises. They get, if their work becomes more dangerous, they're compensated properly or given the equipment to properly do it. But they're CEOs. Their work isn't dangerous. Other than the guillotine. All right, AWOL Radio, we're going our pre-solstice special. Solstice being next week, of course. Next week? 2 weeks from now? What day is it? It's the 14th. So 2 weeks from now. No, 1 week from now. Oh, man. Should have planned something out for the show. So yes, our pre-solstice special next week, being the solstice, we'll have a show party going on the Dig Hut afterwards. If you're tuning in, this is our pre-solstice special. And not to say to anybody, I mean, most people listening, if you're listening, thanks for listening, by the way. But if you're listening, you're probably not someone I said told you so to. But yeah, so Lindsay Shepherd coming out as a pretty racist, ridiculous person. I mean, we already knew that, but tweets, she's... It's hard to say if she's complaining, and that's why she worded it such, but Muhammad is the number one baby name in Mississauga, Brampton area of Ontario. Looked at the Toronto Star report, and she's like, I would notice an overall lack of white babies walking around. I never commented on it, though. It's too anecdotal. It's good to have some info. Why? What does it matter? Like, what does it matter what color babies are around? You'd have to be... some sort of white supremacist or white nationalist, racist, certainly, to have a problem with babies of, non-white babies or babies of that are from white people. I don't know what else to go with here. But yeah, so, to everybody, everybody who supported Lindsay Shepherd over the years... Year since she came to prominence with her ridiculousness around Jordan Peterson and her trans, her pushing a narrative around the existence and requirements or necessity to be a nice person towards everybody, including trans people. But she didn't push that narrative at all. Created it kind of an opposite one. But yeah, so Lindsay Shepherd, and then she's like, I can't be a white nationalist because I think immigration should come from other than European countries, and I am not outraged by these things, and I find that white Canadians are often friendlier than urban white Canadians. So that's why she can't be a white nationalist. Yet she... she comments on the fact of, anyways. Lindsay Shepherd, noted racist. AWOL Radio, noted bad radio show sometimes without very good content. Hoping everybody liked the prison radio, only there was a new one in there. Mumia always on point, or most always, usually always, almost always, 90. Like Noam Chomsky, on point on nearly everything. Good to hear Mumia continue to put content out. Support Prison Radio if you can. It's a good time to year, good time of year to write to prisoners. Of course, prisoners, especially around the holiday season, it's an especially lonely time for people that have been separated from their families, from their communities. So write to prisoners. There's political prisoners in Ontario, in U.S., across Canada, right across Turtle Island. Write to them. Let them know. Check out the Certain Days prison calendar and the website Certain Days for more information on writing prisoners. There's various groups too. The tower.ca, I think it's the tower. The tower.ca. Oh, man, there's capitals on. Might not be the tower.ca. Anyways, the Hamilton, why don't I, the Hamilton anarchist space, the tower, they'll have information on writing to prisoners. Check out your local anarchist Black Cross as well, and write to prisoners. Tell them you're going to, well, don't tell them anything you're not going to do or going to do because everything's written down. And recorded by whatever prison censors come in or the guards. They'll read the mail, so don't, you know, write ridiculous things. But letters of support, if you know them, if you don't know them, there's various ways of figuring out and guides to let you know how to write to prisoners you don't know and let them know that they're supported and loved, that their struggles continue while they are locked up for the various things that people get locked up for. Yeah, that's about it. And of course, there was DOA to start the show off, and Leftover Crack with Burn Them Prisons. Let's get rid of them. It'd be easier that way, wouldn't it? We're going to go to, I guess, a song here on AWOL Radio. Oh, man. It's going to take a while to get to anything. I guess our internet's somewhat broken? Yeah, it does seem to be kind of down. So now I'll just have to think about other things to say or try to bring up some other site. So again, yeah, if you haven't heard the news and haven't figured it out already, Lindsay Shepherd, horrible racist. And I really do hope Megan Murphy really enjoyed that hug that she shared with Lindsay Shepherd. Really brings them together and shows their shows how white nationalists and anti-trans activists and transphobic folks and come together and can literally embrace each other in their joint struggles of oppression when it comes right down to it. Not liberation. Let's bring, you know, liberation. I know we hear that tired old word, and even the TERFs throw down liberation. They say such things, but dang, they don't bring it. It's a thing. Oh yeah, most songs are not so-called clean. Try not to play. No one's really complained. No one usually complains about the content here on AWOL Radio or really CKMS about any swears that come up. But, yeah, there's like nothing showing for me to play. Computers are down. Oh, no. All I see is a whole bunch of CDs around me. Well, this one could be good. This was just came in from CJSW out west, Golden, BC. Thanks for the release. And I don't know, which one should I grab here? High Parade, tragic romantic with indie pop sensibilities and shoegaze overtone. Oh, the Big Friday funding drive. See JSW. Right on. They sent us like a big package here to Radio Waterloo. Let's just put this one in. I doubt it's gonna live up to what I think it is. But fires were started, like the name. And this is Golden BC with I Don't Want with the album I Don't Want to Be This, and the song Fires Were Started. See how it is here on Halo Radio. That was nice. I didn't get the there's a fire happening. I guess it was a slow start to a fire. Yeah, it was Golden BC with Fires Were Started off the brand new album, or recently released album. I assume it's recently released because we just got it. With I Don't Want to Be This is the name of the album. Instead of thinking about other content I could get into, I started reading comments on Lindsay Shepherd's Twitter feeds. Not just getting out of them. And I'm out. So, again, AWOL Radio here. 102.7 CKMS, Radio Waterloo, 426. It's the 14th of December. It's our pre-solstice show. It's going to be dark by the time I get outside. Next week, even darker then. The same darkness as today. Love how that works. As long as I leave the station at the same time, I guess. Let's go with one piece from the Red Eye Collective. News piece. We haven't been updating, or I haven't gotten any new Red Eye Collective for a while. But here they are now. And, alternate budgets. Yeah, let's go into some, let's talk about some climate change, how to confront and go on with it, and the plans that these neoliberal governments are forming to inadequately take on the seriousness. Like, we have these, you know, there's carbon taxes and they did cap and trade and, you know, shifting your your carbon footprint. No, not that one. It's that one you just pay for trees to be planted. Carbon offsetting. I guess that's part like kind of like cap and trade. All these inadequate actions. And like someone, why we know economics is a ridiculous and totally like we should stop listening to economists, at least the ones that have capitalists. Goals in mind or neoliberal goals in mind. The person that won the Nobel Prize in economics this year was like, yeah, cap and trade and climate taxes are good things. Like, getting rid of capitalism is a good thing. Getting rid of resource destruction and the extractive economies are a good thing. Like, carbon taxes aren't going to solve the problem. They're not serious. And that's where we really need to get into it. We need to get serious about climate change. Let's look at this little example of non-seriousness. This is Red Eye Collective. This is BC's newly announced climate plan, not sufficient to avert disaster. Able Radio.
Jane Williams. In today's podcast, I talk with Jens Wieting about the BC government's new climate plan. BC has unveiled its long-awaited plan for reducing greenhouse gas emissions. Premier John Horgan and Green Party leader Andrew Weaver revealed the framework in Vancouver on Wednesday. Cleaner cars and cleaner buildings were highlights, as well as incentives for people to be able to afford the shift. Clean BC also redirects revenue from the carbon tax into incentives like rebates for the province's biggest industries to move to cleaner operations. Jens Wieting is a senior forests and climate campaigner with Sierra Club BC. He joined us a couple of weeks back to talk about protecting old growth forests, and we've invited him back this morning to give us his assessment of BC's climate plan. Hello, Jens.
Hello, good to see you again.
Yes. Now, on Wednesday, when the plan was revealed, Sierra Club BC hailed it as an important step forward. What do you like about the plan?
Well, it was an exciting week because after a longer pause, BC is back taking climate action with specific steps. So we saw a lot on how the province wants to reduce emissions from buildings, from transportation, avoiding emissions from waste, and moving industry to reduce emissions. So this is all very good. They also talked about how they will bring accountability into the picture. That's very important. Now, all of this is now on paper. Now we have to make it a reality. And that's a really big challenge because 10 years ago, the previous government also had a moment of climate leadership and they showed a plan how to meet 73% of their reductions by 2020. But we only reduced emissions by about 2%. And that's very concerning because there's now no room for error.
I guess that's the important thing about it. A plan is just a plan. And we've seen this, I guess, at different levels of government. There have been plans at the federal level and as you mentioned, the plan previously at the provincial level. How is the accountability mechanism going to work in this plan?
Well, they will measure more closely. There will be annual reports. I hope they will have them earlier to show faster where we are. Then they will have a preview. They will use 3-year periods to describe how much every sector must accomplish. And they will have the advisory council to give recommendations how to correct course where needed. Now, all of this can only work if there's capacity and budget to deliver very effectively on monitoring and recommendations and influence. Like these recommendations that we will need to take additional action or to increase the budget to meet the goal that has been projected will have to be implemented. So that's very important. It has not happened in the past 10 years. Now we need really effective mechanisms to correct course when action is not happening.
If the plan is followed as outlined, will it reduce our carbon pollution sufficiently to avoid disaster?
No, and that's one of the big elephants in the room. The science is brutal at this point. The IPCC report in October showed that with the current path, we will be at 1.5 degrees around 2040. They showed that 1.5 will have very serious impacts, but 2 degrees must be avoided. There would be no coral reefs. Millions will be affected by deadly danger if we end up at 2 degrees or more warming. So they also showed that avoiding 1.5 or greater warming will require reducing our emissions close to half by 2030 and zero emissions around 2050. And currently BC has 80% by 2050 target. That's not consistent. Also, the 2030 target should be a little stronger to be consistent, particularly recognizing that we have very high per capita emissions. We live in a relatively rich part of the world. We have a longer history of pollution. We have to move even faster than other parts of the world.
How could BC reduce carbon pollution faster? Is there any low-hanging fruit there?
Well, it's interesting that the LNG Canada project alone will increase emissions, bring additional emissions similar to the gap, the 25% gap that we still have. There are different perspectives by how much this project will increase emissions, but there's a big risk that the emissions could be close to the 25% gap. Clearly, we would have a better chance to meet our targets without LNG expansion. And there's a really big logical mistake here. Allowing new fossil fuel projects that are built to be in place for 30 or 40 years when we should be at zero emissions is a very big mistake.
How does LNG contribute to greenhouse gas emissions?
Well, first, where fracking happens, we have methane leakage, and then there are different perspectives how much these emissions are. There are always some emissions upstream, and then we have even more emissions when LNG is liquefied. The province wants to electrify a lot of this energy-intensive process. But that's an additional challenge because we need a lot of electricity to move to electric cars, to replace fossil fuels elsewhere in our society. If we build LNG and then we will also need a lot of electricity, that's making the challenge to meet our targets even more difficult.
So how does the government justify going ahead with the LNG project when I'm sure it's aware of the science around LNG and emissions?
Well, one of the arguments we hear very often is that it's supposed to help from a global perspective, that it will replace coal. But methane leakage makes liquefied natural gas similarly problematic like coal. Adding up the emissions upstream, downstream, where fracking happens and where gas is liquefied, and then when it's burnt in other countries, means that the emissions are similar. And we have to move away from all fossil fuels. The alternatives exist now. And LNG will not only compete with coal, it will also compete with really clean energy, with solar and wind. And other countries have to make difficult decisions now about how much they will invest into renewable energy, and flooding the market with more fossil fuels will undermine global progress and it will undermine regional progress.
How does all the smoke from forest fires factor into the equation of our emissions budget, if you like?
I look at forest at the third elephant in the room because we didn't talk about forest emissions in this plan this week, but our emissions are going through the roof from forests. the forest fires in 2017 and 2018 were about 8 times more compared to previous averages, and our emissions from forests will now be about 3 times higher than our so-called official counted emissions. Forest emissions are not counted. That's a big problem. It's related to international agreements. It makes sense to monitor and keep an eye on emissions from fossil fuels separately, because those are easier to control than forest emissions. But now they're almost hidden. We have to prominently share these emissions. The BC government should develop a forest emissions report and inform policy to reduce these emissions. We must end slash burning. We must end destructive practices like clear cutting of carbon-rich old-growth forests. And we can set targets how we want to shift logging practices towards lighter touch logging, causing less damage per cubic meter. In fact, we can have wood products and increase the amount of carbon stored in forests if we stop destroying them and selectively choosing the trees we want. We have an amazing opportunity to manage our forests differently, create jobs and reduce emissions at the same time. But we have very little time, because today our forests are in very poor shape.
Well, it kind of relates to what we talked to you about when you came in a couple of weeks ago, that we're, I guess, cutting down old growth forests that can store carbon, and at the same time the rest of our forests are actually producing vast amounts of
emissions. And the forest fires and insect damage is difficult to control. It will also take a lot of time to plant trees where damage happened, but we still have some very resilient forests, our spectacular coastal old growth and inland rainforests. They store record high carbon per hectare, and by keeping these forests protected, we can reduce emissions that would happen immediately if we would continue logging.